Is the Commerce Department becoming the Worker Retraining Department? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Today, Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo is set to give her first big policy speech. Her department is everywhere: census, patents, oceans, weather. And did we mention its role in international trade amid tensions with China? But now Raimondo tells us she's refocusing the Commerce Department inward. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams was among a group of reporters who sat down with the secretary ahead of Raimondo's speech today. And Kimberly joins me now from Washington. Hello there.
Hi, David.
Inward. How?
So she wants to spend more time and effectively government money focusing on things like workforce development. That could be job training, apprenticeship programs, and also expanding domestic technology. That means more broadband access for rural areas, which is a big Biden administration priority. And the Secretary of Commerce says she also wants to spend $10 billion on regional tech hubs to try and get more of the high-tech jobs that are the future of the economy outside of Silicon Valley. And this could be, of course, in the Midwest or maybe even in the South. That needs, of course, money from Congress to fund it.
Also needs microchips. Commerce does deal with trade and these 2021 supply chain shortages hitting so many industries, tech and beyond.
Right. The secretary said that one of the reasons she wants to focus more on domestic issues is to shore up manufacturing of things like semiconductors and microchips and components of other consumer products. Here's some of what she told us ahead of her speech today.
COVID has shown us all how vulnerable our supply chains are, particularly in critical areas, semiconductors, batteries, solar panels. I mean, we used to make the stuff in America. We don't anymore. We've lost a lot of jobs, and we're now vulnerable.
Now, a key reason commerce has had such a trade focus in recent years is because of China, and that dispute's not going away, and China is still in an expansionist mode regarding trade. Why is the U.S. turning inward now?
I asked the secretary about that, and she said these changes are necessary for the United States to remain globally competitive and for national security. Some of the Trump administration tariffs are still in place. She's watching to see if more are needed. And I asked her if we're still in a trade war with China. Here's what she said.
China's not playing by the rules. There is not a level playing field. They're still dumping cheap steel and aluminum, you know, into the world's economy in ways that hurt our industry. And we need to hold their feet to the fire with our allies to make sure that they do.
That's another area the secretary says she plans to focus on, working with our global allies to get on the same page about things like trade with China or even standards around developing technology like artificial intelligence.
Marketplace's Kimberly Adams, thank you so much.
Thanks, David.
There is related news that Ford is going to build an assembly plant in Tennessee for all-electric Ford 150 pickups, this plus three new battery plants in Kentucky and Tennessee to power electric cars with U.S.-made units. Between Ford and Korean battery maker SK Innovation, the investment will be about $11 billion and is projected to create 11,000 U.S. jobs. Now, the benchmark 10-year interest rate is at a three-month high right now at 1.56% at the moment. Is this the discovery of the worst-kept secret in macroeconomics? Let's go to David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist at J.P. Morgan Funds. Good morning.
Good morning.
Interest rates are rising. If you look at the 10-year benchmark, up above 1.5%. I mean, I guess people realizing the Fed means it.
Yes, I wonder what took the bond market so long to figure this out. I mean, last week the Federal Reserve made it perfectly clear that they're going to reduce their bond purchases starting later this year. They now look like they're going to start raising short-term interest rates later next year. But if you look at the rest of it, I mean, the global economy is recovering. We've now got oil prices hitting $80 a barrel on Brent crude overnight. There are plenty of signs of inflation. So to me, the real question is not so much why interest rates are rising, but why on earth have they been so low for so long?
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Healthcare workers here in the state of New York had until yesterday to get the first dose of COVID vaccine or lose their jobs. Healthcare facilities are trying to work out emergency staffing, and workers in other states are hitting vaccination deadlines. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin has that.
California healthcare workers have until this Thursday to get vaccinated. Chris Van Gorder is president of Scripps Health, a healthcare system in San Diego. He says about 1% of his 16,000 employees aren't vaccinated, including some working in ERs with mothers and children and in respiratory therapy. He's afraid many of them will be let go.
Well, to be honest with you, staffing is so tight right now, loss of any single employee, it hurts us.
Meanwhile, in Connecticut, the deadlines for vaccination at some private hospitals have already passed, says Jennifer Jackson, head of the Connecticut Hospital Association. The deadline for state hospital workers was Monday.
There are some who we anticipate will choose to resign rather than get vaccinated. And that's, of course, unfortunate.
Jackson says hospitals are prepared to hire more staff if they can, so that any losses don't disrupt operations. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
We'll keep tracking rising interest rates, the highest since June now, 1.55% for the 10-year yield. Much will happen throughout the day on our Money, Markets, Workplace Culture, and Innovation Beats. You can listen out for my colleague Kai Ryssdal, host of Marketplace, on many public radio stations, of course. Or you can stream by clicking the Marketplace homepage. Our producers are Rose Conlon, Meredith Gerritsen, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, Daniel Shin, and Erica Soderstrom. David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.